When someone you love dies. Has someone you loved fallen asleep in death? Are you still grieving? Do you need help in dealing with your grief? Is there hope for the dead? If so, what is it? How can we be sure? Such questions will receive comforting answers from the Bible. We invite you to listen carefully. It can't be true. A New York, USA man relates,
My son Jonathan was visiting friends a few miles away. My wife, Valentina, didn't like him to go out there. She was always nervous about the traffic. But he loved electronics, and his friends had a workshop where he could get practical experience. I was at home in West Manhattan, New York. My wife was away, visiting her family in Puerto Rico. Jonathan will be back soon, I thought. Then the doorbell rang. That'll be him for sure. It wasn't. It was the police and paramedics. Do you recognize this driver's license? The police officer asked. Yes, that's my son's, Jonathan's. We've got bad news for you. There's been an accident, and your son has been killed. My first reaction was, it can't be true. That bombshell opened a wound in our hearts that is still healing, even years later.
A father in Barcelona, Spain, writes,
Back in the Spain of the 1960s, we were a happy family. There were Maria, my wife, and our three children, David, Paquito, and Isabel, aged 13, 11, and 9, respectively. One day in March 1963, Paquito came home from school complaining of severe head pains. We were baffled as to what could be the cause, but not for long. 3 hours later, he was dead. A cerebral hemorrhage had snuffed out his life. Paquito's death took place over 30 years ago. Even so, the deep pain of that loss stays with us to this day. There is no way that parents can lose a child and not feel that they have lost something of themselves, regardless of how much time passes or how many other children they may have.
These two experiences, where parents lost children, illustrate how deep and lasting the wound is when a child dies. How true the words of a doctor who wrote, The death of a child is usually more tragic and traumatic than the death of an older person, because a child is the last person in the family expected to die. The death of any child represents the loss of future dreams, relationships, son, daughter-in-law, grandchildren, experiences that have not yet been enjoyed. And this sense of deep loss can also apply to any woman who has lost a baby through miscarriage. A bereaved wife explains,
My husband, Russell, had served as a medical aide in the Pacific Theater during World War II. He had seen and survived some terrible battles. He came back to the United States and to a more tranquil life. Later, he served as a minister of God's Word. In his early 60s, he began to have symptoms of a heart problem. He tried to lead an active life. Then one day, in July 1988, he suffered a massive heart attack and died. His loss was devastating. I never even got to say goodbye. He was not just my husband. He was my best friend. We had shared 40 years of life together. Now it seemed that I had to face a special loneliness.
These are just a few of the thousands of tragedies that strike families throughout the world every day. As most grieving persons will tell you, when death takes your child, your husband, your wife, your parent, your friend, it is truly what the Christian writer Paul at 1 Corinthians 15:26 called it, the last enemy. Often the first natural reaction to the dreadful news may be denial. It can't be true. I don't believe it. Other reactions often follow, as we will see. However, before we consider the feelings of grief, let us answer some important questions. Does death mean the end of that person? Is there any hope that we can see our loved ones again? There is a real hope. The Bible writer Paul offered hope of relief from that last enemy death. He wrote, according to 1 Corinthians 15:26, "Death is to be brought to nothing," or as the New English Bible puts it, "the last enemy to be abolished is death." Why could Paul be so sure of that? Because he had been taught by one who had been raised from the dead, Jesus Christ. That is also why Paul could write the words found in verses 21 and 22, "Since death is through a man, Adam, resurrection of the dead is also through a man, Jesus Christ. For just as in Adam all are dying, so also in the Christ all will be made alive." Jesus was deeply grieved when he met a widow of Nain and saw her dead son. The Bible account at Luke 7:12-16 tells us, "As Jesus got near the gate of the city, Nain, why look, there was a dead man being carried out, the only begotten son of his mother. Besides, she was a widow. A considerable crowd from the city was also with her, and when the Lord caught sight of her, he was moved with pity for her, and he said to her, 'Stop weeping.' With that, he approached and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' And the dead man sat up and started to speak, and he gave him to his mother. Now fear seized them all, and they began to glorify God, saying, 'A great prophet has been raised up among us, and God has turned his attention to his people.'" Notice how Jesus was moved with pity so that he resurrected the widow's son. Imagine what that portends for the future. There, in front of eyewitnesses, Jesus performed an unforgettable resurrection. It was a token of the resurrection that he had already predicted some time prior to this event, a restoration to life on earth under what Revelation 21:1 calls a new heaven. On that occasion, Jesus had said, as recorded at John 5:28-29, "Do not marvel at this, because the hour is coming in which all those in the memorial tombs will hear his voice and come out." Other eyewitnesses to a resurrection included Peter, along with some others of the 12 who accompanied Jesus on his travels. They actually heard the resurrected Jesus speak by the Sea of Galilee. The account at John 21:12-14 tells us, "Jesus said to them, 'Come, take your breakfast.' Not one of the disciples had the courage to inquire of him, 'Who are you?' because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after his being raised up from the dead. Therefore, Peter could write with utter conviction, as recorded at 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for according to his great mercy he gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The Apostle Paul expressed his confident hope when he said, as we read at Acts 24:15, "I believe all the things set forth in the law and written in the prophets, and I have hope toward God, which hope these men themselves also entertain, that there is going to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous." Millions, therefore, can have the solid hope of seeing their loved ones alive again on earth, but under very different circumstances. What will those circumstances be? Further details of the Bible-based hope for our lost loved ones will be discussed in the final section, entitled, "A Sure Hope for the Dead." But first, let us consider questions you may have if you are grieving over the loss of a loved one. Is it normal to grieve this way? How can I live with my grief? What can others do to help me cope? How can I help others who are grieving? And principally, what does the Bible say about a sure hope for the dead? Will I ever see my loved ones again? And where?